previously on
Dubious Intent Plus.
Dubious Intent Plus. What?
Plus.
Plus.
Read the clue twice. It's like, read the clue twice, calm the fuck down, and you'll be okay. It's like,
It's the most horrible thing when they go through an entire detour or whatever they're called, the challenges.
Yep.
And then they realize they did something
right.
wrong.
Right. Because like, they were too rushed.
Sorry.
Right.
We can't give you the clue because now you have to eat this whole sheep intestine all over again
right,
because
exactly. mm-hmm.
you used your hands and you weren't supposed to.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through to interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are. We're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by April Fool's Day. No joke here, April Fool's Day is a day to be celebrated. We've got all the things you'll need to prank. We mean celebrate this fun and sometimes foolish day. Check them out at aprilfoolsday.com and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI Plus for a foolish discount. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer and I am joined from the April Fool's free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
I'm glad we don't have April Fool's Day.
Why?
I don't like to be pranked. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. You do not like to be fooled. It's like, fool me once.
No. I don't know that I ever have. I don't think anyone has ever specifically on April Fool's Day played a joke on me. But...
You've never fallen for a fake news story. You've never, Oh my God, Betty White died.
No, I never, I will have to see her rotting corpse before I'll believe that because everyone always tries to say that to me. You know, everyone's like, oh yeah, Betty's in the hospital or Betty's whatever, whatever. But anyway.
You know what? Betty White is fine. That's what I'm going to say. Betty White is fine. How dare you imply anything else? You know what, Adam? It is 9:12 p.m. on a Sunday evening. And that, of course, can mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Adam, who is joining us this evening?
Good Humor Penguin, Joe and Austin, Nico, Mags, and someone by the name of X-Mib.
X-Mib.
Okay. Yeah.
If those of you who download the podcast won't hear the screwed up opening, but yeah, I apologize to the chat room. I screwed up the opening. This whole pulling a clip thing is just, I knew it was going to be a pain in the ass and now it's becoming a real pain in the ass.
Well, I don't think that pulling the clip was a pain in your ass apparently, but that didn't cause you to mess up. You just,
right.
I don't know why you messed up.
I messed up because I didn't know where it ended and I hit the button early and then, I guess when I made the clip, I cut off the last word. And so now I'm going to have to go back and redo the clip and it's just going to be horrible. Hey, you know what, Adam, while we're speaking of things that I have fucked up.
I don't know.
Which that list is,
Oh, while long. We're speaking. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Long. That very long list of things that I have fucked up over the course of this show. Last week, I was thanking all the people who had recorded the previously to, and I completely skipped over Mr. Mike. Mike from Squamish, BC. I'm so sorry, Mr. Mike. He let me know on Twitter. He reamed me out on Twitter for skipping over him. But Mr. Mike, of course, being the one every year in Vegas who helps us do the sound every single year. So he allows Adam and I to actually take breaks while we do the sound for everyone in Vegas. So, I mean, with other people, too. But Mr. Mike has been there.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't now piss off all the other people who volunteered last year.
You know what, Adam?
But,
my job to piss people off, and I'm quite good at it. Thank you. So I did want to thank Mr. Mike, 1972, on Twitter for sending in the previously, which I think was our second one that we did. It was like Moose P and then I think him.
So like on your resume, when you're giving your resume to various companies and when you're applying for jobs.
Yeah. Oh, wait, something that I don't know. Am I being fired or something?
No, I don't know anything.
Oh, okay,
I'm just saying under like that section where you put other qualifications.
Oh, there. Yeah,
do you list,
that, yes.
Pissing people off? Is that
pissing people off? I excel at pissing people off. I should just write that down. It's a good job. I don't know. Anyway.
So, nothing has got... I Nothing exciting has happened in my life. We need to take a trip or something just so that I'll have something to talk about, because nothing exciting. It's the cruddy part of the year, right? When for some reason, we don't even start getting snow until like the end of February. And then we had snow in March. I know you did as well, but
We not only had snow in March, we did had snow this past Friday.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is like March 21st or 20th or something. Yeah.
Well, also it seems that, and I know I talked about this last week and we're going to talk about a specific show, but I just want to say, also a lot of the shows that we watch, it seems take a break around this time as well, or something. I don't know. So Mark and I, like, we have this grouping of shows that we watch that, you know, keep us entertained when we don't have anything to do. And we keep running out of shows. Well, like, we just run out of shows.
Do you guys watch the Filipino channel? Like, do you watch, like, do you have that extra channel for Mark, the Filipino channel?
So we do have the Filipino channel.
Does he watch that, like, all the time? Like, when as soon as you walk out of the room, does he, like, flip it over? Like, as you walk out of the room, do you hear behind you, like, oh,
he's watching it right now. but no, he DVRs whatever shows that there's this one soap opera-y type show where they have a different story every week.
Don't most soap operas have a different?
Well, no, it's different story. Actors, different everything. It's like a completely standalone story. And the only
so it's more
thing,
of a more of an episodic show than a soap opera.
Yeah,
because soap opera would kind only, of imply a
well
ongoing.
The reason I say soap opera is because it reminds me, it's very dramatic. They have this very soap opera-esque music in the background. It's always very heartstring pulling stories, you know, and that sort of thing. But anyway, so he watches that, and the only thing that ties the episodes together is there's this woman that narrates every episode. That's it. So you hear her talking in the background. But yeah, so he does watch that when I'm out of the room, but he records whatever it is that he likes. He also likes this weird talk show. It's similar to that, but I know that's an American soap opera. That's like General Hospital or something. Yeah, exactly. That is not really what they sound like, but
this is like the most racist thing I've ever done. I'm so sorry.
I think so. So yeah, he does watch there's a talk show that he watches where they have this fake laughter that they like to play.
Yeah, it's called the Big Bang Theory.
No, but it's not. It sounds like a cartoon squirrel or something. It's like it's not a human laughing at all, but it's this completely irritating cartoon-esque laughter that they play anyway all the time. Like every sentence the host says, they play this thing. But anyway, so.
Oh, I thought that was an actual laugh.
More music breaks.
No, I thought that was an actual laugh track. Sorry.
So we've been watching a lot of HGTV, and I just wanted to point out that there are three shows, and I've pointed this out before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Property Brothers, ugh. Love It or List It, ugh. And now we're watching a new one called Fixer Upper. First of all, I just want to say Love It or List It and Property Brothers both record in large cities in Canada, or usually they're in Toronto or somewhere like that, right? And Fixer Uppers is a couple who does the same thing in Waco, Texas. So you watch, you know, Love It or List It, for instance, and I've talked about it before, how she has these big, huge plans of what she's going to do at the beginning, right? And as the episode goes on, they run into so many issues with the house that by the end, she's doing like one room.
Yes.
You know, but the houses are like $800,000, you know, is a typical cost of a house on Property Brothers or Love It or List It. And then they'll have like another $100,000 to like do the fixing up or whatever. Fixer Uppers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They're in Waco, Texas. They're like buying these houses for like $95,000.
Because it's fucking Waco, Texas. Who the hell wants to buy a... I mean, I'd like to point out to your attention, the thing that Waco, Texas is most noted for is for having a compound, right? It's like having like the David Koresh compound out in Waco, Texas. It's like, how do you think some guy like forms a cult and buys a compound? It's not like he had $1 million in his back pocket. It was like he bought a bunch of empty land in godforsaken Waco, Texas.
So I'm kind of addicted to those, but I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again. I don't like it when they set you up. They give you this great plan of what they're going to do. And then they want to add drama to the show, right? So they go, oh my God, we found this, sewage pipe that's going, it's going to cost $5 billion to get rid of it. And we're going to have to X off three of the rooms that we were going to do. And I feel let down, like at the end. Like, you know, it's like,
here's the thing. Aw. Here's the thing.
I'm like, come on. I wanted you to do the basement with the nice pool table and the bar and everything. And you had to X that off the list.
Here's the thing.
Here's
the thing.
Yeah.
It's just too soon. It's just too soon. Too soon after my divorce, this was one of those things that was a sticking point near the end of my marriage, is that HGTV was always on the fucking TV, always
I'm
on
sorry, I didn't
all
know
the goddamn
that.
Time was fucking HGTV. As a matter of fact, when I got into this apartment, I actually...
You told him,
No, I blocked HGTV. You can't even tune to HGTV in this house. I have blocked it from the cable boxes. Like, you cannot even get to HGTV. It's like, it drove me fucking insane, because that was like, every time you and I would try to record, every time we were doing everything, there was fucking HGTV like blaring at downtown. And yeah, it was just, and repeats, just sitting there watching repeats.
Well,
it's just,
okay,
oh,
but
it's just, oh, I can't stand
Food
HGTV.
Network, HGTV, and like DIY.
I'm with you on the Food Network. I like watching Food Network.
Our channels you can just turn on.
Yes.
And do chores or whatever and kind of have it on in the background.
Oh,
you want to have some noise.
Yeah, I do Twit TV for that. So I do, yeah. That's the tech show, which is internet based. But I just wanted to point out in the chat room that Gravitas came in late. Called me lacist, and thank you, Gravitas. You're right, I was being very lacist.
And the other thing that we watched...
And he wanted to point out that they are called telenovelas.
Oh, right. Well, I thought that was more of a Mexican thing.
Now you're
telenovela, racist. Isn't that a Mexican?
I think it just means a television novel. I think that's all telenovela.
But I believe telenovela is a Spanish word. Anyway, the other thing that we watched the whole first season of...
Yes.
Is Silicon Valley.
Yes, it's coming on. April 12th is season two. We'll be starting April 12th.
And I like it. We got into it. The first couple of episodes, I wasn't all in. But after we got to three or four, I was in on the story. You know, I kind of got into the characters and everything.
I really liked it. I liked Silicon Valley.
But Mark says the only thing he doesn't like about it is it's a very stressful show. And they're always stressed out about, you know, money and getting their product off the ground or their app off the ground and business plans and all this. And mm-hmm. because it's so technical, it reminds him of work and
yeah,
all the
but
stress
see, that's,
at work.
That is the weird thing. This is the weirdest damn thing. When I met Mittens, like, so when you guys came to New York City and I met Mark/Mittens, that was the thing that got me is he works in the tech field, yet he has no interest in tech. And those people just boggle my mind. It's just kind of like, you and I work in the tech field, but we also like do all, even like we read tech blogs, we like follow tech shows. It's like a hobby and a job, right? It's like it happens to be our job, but it's also a hobby that we're really interested in doing. So when I run into people that work in the tech industry that like have no interest in tech, I'm just like, who are you? What are you doing here?
It's very common in the Philippines and probably India as well. I don't know, but it's very common for them to choose a job that they know is going to make them money that they can use to support their family or whatever. It just so happens that the tech field is one of those areas that they choose to make the money and not necessarily. So all that leads up to, I have watched CSI Cyber.
Oh, wow. This whole thing was a segue into that Trello piece.
Well, no,
right there.
I mean, I wanted to mention those TV shows.
You're
as
just
well,
going
but
all over them. Telenovelas and the annuity.
You brought that up.
And I watched CSI Cyber.
No, it wasn't a whole thing to get there, but I thought they fit well together.
All right. Well, let's talk about CSI Cyber, which is the, I don't know. I don't know what you thought of it. I couldn't make it more than one episode. I watched the first episode and I was immediately, I would say 15 minutes into it, I was much more transfixed by her crooked tooth than I was anything going on about the entire story. Because it's like every time they would show a close-up on her mouth, you could see like a little crooked tooth. Which, in fairness, I used to get that way in Star Trek Next Generation, like looking for the gap between Patrick Stewart's teeth, because they would always like, they would film him in such a way that you didn't see the gap. But he has like a natural kind of like David Letterman gap in his teeth or whatever. But yeah, I guess Patricia Arquette, is that her?
Yes.
She has a tooth that is like an acute right angle to everything else in her mouth. It's just like, it like sticks forward. And, it was like, God, what a horrible show. What a horrible show.
Well, okay. I have to say that you knowing me for quite a few years now and knowing my television watching habits, I am all in on a procedural.
This
have a
this was an insulting procedural.
And I know you're going to probably have some problems with the tech on it or whatever, but I can kind of suspend disbelief or whatever you want to say and not really pay. I've never been a hacker, so I'm not, I probably don't even know. They could say all this hackery shit and I probably wouldn't even know if they were telling if it was correct or not. And I don't look at the monitors and see, is the Python code they have on the monitor actually correct? You know, I don't do that when I'm watching a show. Now, I just kind of assume that there's some correct code there and whatever. But what
fun fact, they usually show Java code instead of Python because Python is like squished down. It's like when you write Python code, it's like really not pretty to look at. Like scrolling by, you would use like C# or Java because of the indentation of it, and it looks nice as it scrolls by. Just there you go, a little helpful tip for you there.
So, you know, I'm going to watch a couple. So I didn't love it. I really like her. But mainly because I liked the show Medium that she was on. And so I can't quite get past that. She still seems like she should be like waking up in a sweat, like, you know, solving the crime by having a dream that some dead people fed to her.
It was not far off from that.
But the reason that I don't love it is because I'm all about characters, like liking characters. And I think one of the things I like about a lot of procedurals is you really get to know the characters, and if they're good, you know, they have very interesting backstories and you kind of learn their quirks and stuff, and you feel like, you know, I mean, it's more of a character thing. So I have to give shows at least a few episodes to see if I'm going to like the characters. But what I will say is, so far, I have no interest in any of the characters and don't feel like they have really any backstory. They seem flat.
Yeah, like, they're very stereotypical, kind of like, you know, just mean, nasty, like no social skills kind of computer.
Right. They're not interesting. Nothing about them is interesting so far.
I'm always curious where that comes from. Right now, I've worked as a computer programmer for 25 years. So as someone in the biz, right? Yeah, we have our share of people that are on the spectrum, right? We have our share of people that are, antisocial, whatever, that you would probably high functioning autistic. Autistics, but there's like a very small amount. Like we all probably know one guy that like sits in his cubicle and that's all he does. He just cranks out, you know, SQL code, and he's got like weird things written on, you know, you can't touch his pens or move, you know, it's like, but for every one of those, there's, you know, 25 normal people in the programming world, right? It's like kind of like what I will say is there's an abnormal number of gay people in the programming world, and that almost never is reflected on TV. It's like none of those characters are gay. It's like I don't know where this whole myth that like everyone that works in tech is somehow straight. It's like that is so in real life, that is so not the case. It's like in real life, it's like the gays outnumber the straights in most programming departments.
At my company, we have three basic types of people who are programmers. We have Indians, which I know sounds racist, but
yeah, you think?
But we have
wait, this is shocking. So identifying people solely by their race sounds racist to you? Really? That's amazing.
We have Indians, we have programmers, if that makes sense to you.
It does, yes.
And we have old hippie guys with the ponytails and stuff. That seems to be kind of the three categories of programmers that I've met at my particular company.
It is, but so, I mean, you're a very large retail store, so it's not like you guys are on the cutting edge of programming stuff right now. So.
Right. But anyway, so I don't know. I don't hate it, like, but it would be at the very bottom of my list if I had nothing else to watch. But I feel like I need to give it a couple of more episodes before I stop watching it.
No, for me, I was out midway through episode one. I actually finished watching the episode because I was just, it had sucked all the energy out of me and I couldn't actually take, you know, move my hand to like turn the TV off. But it was horrible. It was just so horrible.
But that's my, I don't have any segue for this, but I think we're done with CSI Cyber. So I'm going to talk to you about.
Really? You're going to talk to us about something. I love how you're just like, you're dogmatic tonight. You're going, I'm going to follow the Trello. It's written down and I'm going to follow it in this order. Yes. Hello.
Hello, this is David at Lucian's Guy calling in for the Celebrity Death Zone.
Yes.
It seems that Andy Fraser, who was the bassist and main vocalist for the band Free, has died at 62. The song they were most known for was the song All Right Now, which I guarantee, well, at least Daniel has heard, maybe Adam hasn't. But anyway, unfortunately dead at 62, he was family and he will be missed, so... I guess it's all right now. Bye.
I think it's not all right now.
Here's the song. I don't know the Oh, yeah. Okay, I know the song. Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. So I know that song. All right, so what do we say, Adam? Yes, no?
Sure. We don't have a lot tonight anyway.
There you go. Congratulations, David, the Blue Jeans guy. You are entered into the Celebrity Death Phone.
Well, speaking of celebrity death.
I know you saw that Auntie Vera Charles logged into the chat room also.
I want to talk to you about lip gloss.
Really? It seemed like a much more natural progression to do this and to say that you were just talking about this horrible television show.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about a really good television show.
Oh, okay. Well, we can do that, too.
So I would like to talk about this really good television show. It's called The Fosters. Now, the only reason that this show even came into my, into the view or whatever, is there's a news story because I guess it featured the youngest gay kiss on television or whatever. And, of course, there was news stories all about that and yada yada. And I'm like, wait, what is this show? I've never heard of this show before. And as it would happen, it's on Netflix. The first season is on Netflix. So I started watching like episode number one. Boom. I'm like sucked into this thing. It's like I am all in on this show. I've now completely caught up, both seasons. I'm like even the one that they're playing now. Let me tell you, that is an amazing show. The stuff that they cover just on the ABC Family Channel. But it's like, so it's a lesbian couple who have adopted these twins that are now taking in two foster kids and then end up adopting them. And then, but it's got like, I don't know of a weird topic that they haven't touched on at some point in time. But the youngest kid that they're adopting, Jude, is like a young gay kid. And I've never seen this handled this way on TV. Now, the executive producer of the show is Peter Page, and you might remember him from Queer as Folk. He was, I forget his character's name, but he was the Emmett. Was that his name? Emmett.
Oh, well, I didn't know his name, but yeah, I know who Emmett
is. So and Jennifer Lopez is an executive producer on it. And, but the gay stuff on it is just handled so incredibly well, because it's just rings so true, right? It's like that awkward time where you kind of like, you're questioning why you like this and why you're not liking these other things, and you do those stupid games where you like, you go out with a girl just so you can be next to the guy that's going out on a double date. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like all of these things that is like that ring true from our past, or different things that is like, oh my God, I see myself in that, or I remember that, or I've heard of people that, went through that. And it's like, it is just so, I mean, at the risk of sounding really sappy, it's so touching the way that they handle that whole storyline. And it's not the only storyline in the show. I mean, there's obviously, it crosses a lot of different storylines, but that particular one with Connor and Jude is just really, really, really touching, and it is great the way that they've handled it. And anyway, I'm all in on The Fosters. So if you have Netflix streaming, do yourself the favor, just go watch the first episode of The Fosters and see if you like it or not. I guarantee you, you're going to get sucked into it.
It doesn't hurt that both the male characters, I think there must be two here because I'm looking at a photo, are very attractive.
There's a lot of male characters in the show. But
I'm just looking at like a publicity photo, so I assume there's two like main male characters.
No, it is very much an ensemble show. What you're looking
I'm
at are
sharing my screen. You can see the photo I'm looking at here.
Oh, okay. So those are the two oldest boys. Yeah, those are the two oldest boys. Yeah. So who's missing from that shot is the youngest kid, the one that's gay, or the one that's playing gay.
I'm just hoping they're legal because I just said they're cute. But
no, that is Jake T. Austin, by the way. If you want to, if you have a few moments, go to Google Images and just look at Jake T. Austin, and you will see. And matter of fact, I think I today on the when I was laying on the couch watching TV because I didn't feel well today, I watched Rio 2, and I think he actually did a voice in that. But yeah.
Oh, we watched. The Penguins of Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Okay, great.
It sucks. Anyway.
All right, so there you go.
Well, we don't have anything to watch, so are you saying that we should go out
and
try this?
Yeah, you have Netflix. I'm telling you, you should just give one episode a try. It's it is very captivating. In fact, the only thing I disliked about it is I've noticed that newer shows are a lot better at theme songs than older shows. But when you binge watch stuff and they have like a fucking 2-minute theme song, it's just like,
yeah,
oh, for cocks. And it's like you're trying to fast forward through them and it doesn't have the right, then you have to rewind, and you have to fast forward, and it's just whatever. But yeah, their theme song gets annoying after a while because a lot of it, I was watching it on the computer and you don't have the same kind of remote to fast forward through the theme song. So you have to kind of guess where you're going to put the you know, your mouse to like kind of jump ahead of the theme song.
What I hate the most about watching stuff either on demand or on Hulu is the commercials that they play the same commercial.
See, I do not watch
Over and over again.
I refuse to watch Hulu. I refuse to get Hulu. I will go and pay the $1.99 per episode on Amazon or something rather than get Hulu. That's just...
See, on demand, you would think, oh, I pay for this cable subscription, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's going to be like my DVR, whatever. And you go in there and, oh my God, we were watching that Fixer Upper show, but they were cross-promoting All-Star Academy over on Food Network. And they gave the same tip. Like 15 times.
Here's a tip. If you don't want your guacamole to look like shit, put a little bit of lemon in it. It'll keep it from oxidizing in the air. Was it that tip? Yes. Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Former Toto bass player.
What?
Mike Porcaro. Dead. 59 years old. What the heck? I am not going to turn 59, I swear. I refuse to turn 59. They're all dropping dead at 59. Kathy Bacon. I'm at Kmart. I never come to Kmart. Well, I shouldn't say I never come to Kmart. I only come here for my prescription. Oh, this isn't prescription, Kmart. This isn't the contact call. Dead Toto. There's a song that I like that Toto sang, and it was from 1984. Can't remember the name of it, though.
So here's the...
That's it.
Mike Porcaro, the longtime bass player for Grammy-winning rock band Toto,
Toto,
died early morning at 59 following a battle with amyotrophic
lateral sclerosis. And the song that she likes, is the only song that Toto is really known for, which is the Africa song. I'm pretty sure that's probably the song that she's thinking of. I think
it's
they also
Lou Gehrig's disease, by the way.
Didn't they do a Rosanna song? Wasn't that them too? Rosanna.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Was that other guy a bassist as well?
I don't think so.
Seems like we have an epidemic.
The bassists are dropping like flies.
Bassists.
All right.
Because I think we've had other bassists die recently.
Well, now that we've done that flawless segue from CSI Cyber into the Fosters, why don't you, again, flawlessly segue into mailing lip balm?
Okay. Well, I just want to say, I was talking about the Food Network, and the tip that they had was cooking steak, and I already knew this, but I cooked a really good steak this week. And what I did, I just want to tell everyone, I marinated it with Newman's Italian dressing for 3 hours.
Hello, Newman.
And then take it out, dry it off, salt, pepper liberally, and then put a mixture of olive oil and garlic in your medium high pan, and then cook it 5 minutes, depending on what you want it. But I did 5 minutes per side. Do not flip it more than once. You
want
to get the caramelization on the outside.
So what did you want? You just
wanted
like a slab of leather or something?
No, I wanted medium.
Ugh.
And anyway, so do that. And at the end, put in a pat of butter, a couple of garlic cloves. And some other herbs, some aromatic herbs, rosemary or chives or whatever.
Wow.
And then baste it.
All right, Adam.
For the last like 2 minutes. Anyway.
Adam, this is an amazing tip for people who eat really cheap fucking meat. It's like, what are you like trying to bury the taste of this thing? Is like, what did you, like, I hope you didn't buy a decent cut of meat to do that with.
Well, first of all, I like my meat to have flavor other than just meat flavor. I like garlic and all that kind of flavor.
Okay, fine. Then you go and you buy a really nice ribeye and you use just a little bit of olive oil and some salt, pepper, and some crushed garlic on top of it. And
I learned how to cook steak on the watching the Chew.
And then
they know what they're doing.
You take a cast iron skillet. You get the cast iron skillet amazingly hot. And then you sear the ribeye on each side. For no longer than a minute before you flip it to sear it on the other side. And then you reduce the heat and you cook it for maybe 2 minutes on each side, depending on the thickness, so you get a nice medium rare. Nice medium rare. You want to see the blood. You want to see the...
I like medium.
Like,
anyway, but it turned out really good, though. Basting it with butter is really... Anyway, so...
So, you know, the chat room is agreeing with me. The chat room is agreeing with me. The good meat only needs salt and pepper.
Well... That's fine. You know, if you want to go out and just knock the cow over and just gnaw into it like something you'd see on
don't be ridiculous. I might eat the piece under the branded part. Like if they had a branding iron or something, it's got to have at least a good sear.
Right.
On it,
Right. Anyway, it was really good though. I'm a good cook and it was good. I wanted a really good cut of meat. I waited 30 minutes and the butcher never showed up. They had a sign up that said, we'll be back shortly. So I ended up having to get one of the prepackaged revised. But anyway,
probably had meat glue in it.
Yeah, probably. So Kathy Bacon just entered the room, and I just wanted to briefly talk about Kathy Bacon.
Has been here for a while.
Well, that was my segue.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And I wanted to talk about a trek I took this week. apparently, I have fallen down on the job because, I don't know, months ago,
Kathy Bacon.
Devoted listener Kathy Bacon asked for lip gloss.
And
Lip balm.
I got her mailing address, and I said, Adam, as the person who has 100 of those damn things left, could you please send Kathy Bacon some lip balm? He's like, yes, absolutely. I will get on that. Look at that. He's got a big bag of lip balm right there.
Right here. I've got the bag. It's not a lot, actually. We've probably got maybe, I don't know, 10 to 15 left. Right.
But here's the thing. So for those of you who don't know, we do this thing in Vegas every year. It's the Pride 48 weekend that we do in Vegas with all the podcasters and whatnot. And there, we have swag bags there. So the item that we put into the swag bag last year was the DI Plus Creepy Uncle Melon Lip Balm.
Yeah.
Because, which is, you know, Melon because of Adam and Creepy Uncle because of Adam's Creepy Uncle. So there you go. It had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, nothing to do, but your face is on it.
My face is on it.
So you could be the Creepy Uncle.
Which makes me the Creepy Uncle. Great. Yes.
So I fell down on the job, and a few of us were chatting in GroupMe or wherever we were chatting, and then you said, oh yeah, and Adam's never mailed that blah, 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 blah. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I don't have any meetings. I'm going to take a long lunch, and I'm just going to go because I had a haircut anyway. So I'm going to drop by the house and get some lip gloss. So I came by the house, and I got you gave me the address again, and I came by the house, and I got four. I didn't know how many. Three. I don't know how many ever
three,
I sent.
Three of them.
And the UPS place is right by the place that I get my haircut. So I thought, oh, that'll be, you know, very convenient. So I went, dropped by the UPS place. And I go in, and first of all, this lesbian, or I don't know if she was a lesbian, but I would only assume that this was a lesbian, but maybe not, who knows, at the counter, was just, I hadn't packaged them. I said, I need to mail these things. And she's like eyeing them, like looking at the picture, like asking who's in the picture. She's like reading the title. She's reading everything. She's like inspecting this. Like, all I want you to do, woman, is mail this. I don't want a million questions. You know, and then she kept going, oh my God, that's so funny. Creepy Uncle Waterman. That's so funny. What is that like an inside joke or something? And she, like over and over and over.
Did you tell her? Did you tell her? Yeah, it's watermelon flavored because there's a video of me on the internet fucking watermelon.
I did not.
I would have told her just to see her face on that one. And she's like, yeah, there's a video on next to of me fucking a watermelon, and that's why it's watermelon flavored.
And then she just will not stop talking about this, how cute she thinks it is and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, she probably has no idea what a podcast is. I didn't want to go into, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's an inside joke among some friends, whatever, because I didn't want to go into detail about, oh, I do this podcast and we had a joke and we have a convention every year. And I, you know, I didn't want to go into all of that. So, so she's like, oh, I'll pack it for you. No big deal. Blah, blah, blah. Well, then... And I don't mind.
No one spins a narrative like you, Adam. Let me tell you.
Whatever.
You just blah, blah, blah. And then blah, blah, blah. And then blah, blah, blah.
Well, I had told the important part of it. Blah, blah, blah was the non-important part.
I see what you're saying.
So, and Kathy, I love you and you are worth any amount of money, but I just want to say.
You're going to tell her how much it costs, aren't you?
I'm just want to say that I get the bill for this mailing these three. I could have went on that website that we ordered these lip glosses
and drop shipped you 100 of them.
Yeah. And so the bill for mailing three small things of lip balm to the compound, the Bacon compound in South Dakota was $25.
25 bucks to send three little things of lip balm.
It was $25. So anyway, but they packed it, and apparently they did a very good job. Because
are we going to play? Can we play this now out of turn?
You can. Sure.
All right. So we got this. This came in. It wasn't a video. It's just audio. But here we go. Here's the unboxing audio of Kathy Bacon doing. Oh, I have to download it because it won't play an MP4 there. Here we go.
Okay, Daniel and Adam, I just want you to know that if I had technological skills,
say what?
I would be making an unboxing video of this. And oh my gosh, seriously, there is so much tape on here. I swear, there's got to be like something really super, like, what's the word? Really super
sticky?
Valuable in here because There's like 300 pieces of tape.
It is.
So let me get some tape off of here, and then I'll come back when I actually have the box opened.
Right. If she had technological skills, she could edit it.
His employees box this up
his
and
people.
Send this up. He does have employees, doesn't he?
Right. Yeah, he has people.
He makes six figures. Okay, Adam, I love you. Stop. Oh, Adam, you got the cutest little pink packing peanuts I ever saw.
Aw.
They're so cute. And bubble wrap. Oh, my gosh. I love bubble wrap. Mm-hmm.
My people did that. I had no...
They're so much
fun. I wonder it was $25. You went out with the plastic peanuts.
Okay, I'm opening the bubble wrap. There's 1, 2, 3.
She clearly wants more. Three. Oh, look at you. She's so high. She can't even hide her disappointment there.
Three is kind of a weird number. I should have done 4.
Maybe I should save these and find a present for you and mail it to you.
Yes.
Okay, I have more downstairs. It's like, now I know what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm going to pop bubbles and put lip gloss on. Thanks, guys. I love it. I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Should I use like a little dab out of each one? Oh, they have a safety seal. So, well, thank you very much.
There you go. You're welcome. It's lip balm. It's not
you're
lip
welcome.
Gloss.
Yeah, and I was told that I probably, I probably could have gone to the USPS.
Yeah, had you gone to the postal, had you just gone to the post office, it probably would have been like $10 at most.
Yeah, and spent less money. But the thing is, I just thought to myself, oh, UPS is right by the haircut place. And I wasn't going to, then I'd have to Google where the nearest post office was, because I never go to the post office. And so it was like, whatever. I'll
I don't think anyone under the age of like 50 goes to the post office. If we could at all possibly help it.
I don't know where they are. I think I know roughly an area where there might be a post office, but I would have to Google it to get the exact directions. Anyway, it's fine. As Kathy said,
Yes. What?
Well, I'm not going to finish that sentence, but it was fine.
All right.
I did not mind it, but I didn't mind at all, but I did think, gosh, 3 things of lip gloss for $25?
Well, I will tell you this, Adam. As you may know, today, the day that we were recording this is March 22nd. My birthday is March 28th, next Saturday, or this coming Saturday. And I have gotten another item off of my Amazon wish list. I don't have a drum roll here for it.
Yeah, we should have some
kind of. I got it. And I will always love you. There you go. So I got your favorite item that was on my Amazon wish list for the folding quarter trick.
Which kind of gives away the trick, right?
Well, that's why you do not
for us to,
you do not actually introduce that as and now the folding quarter trick.
This is the folding quarter trick.
That would kind of give it away, yeah. So, but it was sent to me by TJ, Mayor TJ from Squarestown. Thank you very much, TJ. She writes in her little gift card here. Hopefully, this will not lead to you making the Celebrity Death Bone Fund disappear. it's the Folding Death Fund, or the Folding Death Fund. And then she also included an item that was not on my wish list. So it was a secondary trick that says, you might like this one too. When I dated a magician, this was one of his favorites. And I will not tell you the name of that one, but I did get a secondary giftette from TJ there for my birthday. Thank you so much, TJ. That was lovely and thoughtful of you to do that. Let's see. And I guess I have to do this because I forgot to do this last time. I was going to, you know what? I'm recording this new show with Joe Batanz and Donna Sugars, the RuPaul Drag Race recap on Tuesday nights. And Joe was supposed to record like an old timey telegram sounding guy, like, ah, here's your telegram, sir, or whatever. Because I don't know if you knew this or not, Adam, because you took a week off right when I was going to talk about this. And then I got buried last week under the gifts for my birthday. But I hold here in my hands. Little hands here, a telegram that was delivered to me,
like an actual telegram.
Yes, you see this, an actual telegram that was delivered to me on February 27th. It was an actual telegram that was sent to Daniel Brewer, the Celebrity Death Phone here in Hamden, Connecticut, and it says, "Dear Celebrity Death Phone, stop. Leonard Nimoy has died. Stop. Live long and prosper. Stop. Regards." Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone. End. There you go. So there you go. I actually got a telegram. From Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone about the celebrity death poem about Leonard Nimoy. Sorry.
Well, you know,
so sorry, Mr. Stone, Dr. Stone, you did not beat the person that used the telephone to call.
Now, where do you go to pick up a telegram?
You know, it's interesting that you would say that. You can go to www.itelegram.com is where he sent it from. Let's see. I don't know who does this. It's the U.S. Mailgram. I don't know where one goes to do this. I don't think that there's actually, you know, actually telegram. It wasn't like it's sent in Morse code or anything. There you go. So
that would have been funnier if it was like dot to dot dash dash dot dot.
Right, and then you had to like do it. It's like only Dr. Stone would send a telegram in this day and age, but that's all right.
He probably has a telegram machine in his house.
He probably does. He probably just like has one of those Mr. America and all the ships at sea.
His podcast sounds kind of like that's what he's using to transmit his voice. So maybe he is.
There you go. And with that, I guess we move the show forward. The news.
All right. So so this is just one that interests me because I'm into technology, but a self-driving car is set to start a road trip across the country. The 3,500-mile trip from California to New York is the longest automated drive ever attempted in North America.
Wow.
Delphi Automotive, PLC's vehicle. Now, this is interesting because I've never heard of this company before.
Delphi?
And I would assume it would be Google or...
But maybe Delphi?
It could be Delphi, but I still don't know. Delphi was like a programming language or something, or a database.
Delphi was the oracle in ancient Greece, but it's all right. Go ahead.
Anyway, well, there was some Delphi something with technology because there was a book called the Delphi Bible. Anyway, so maybe it's Delphi Automotive.
I think Turbo Pascal eventually became Delphi at some point because Borland put that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So yeah, so this driving car across the country. When is it going to
happen? A driverless car making the trip.
When will this be happening?
So it was set to start off on Sunday today. It was supposed to start off today.
Well, do we know? Did it blow up? Has it exploded? Is there some way we can follow the progress of this car? Does it periodically stop and send out a telegram or something? Is like, how would we know? I'm sure. I mean, this has got to be a big publicity stunt. Do they not have like an onboard drop cam or something that you could watch?
Well, I don't know, but let's see. So the CEO or the chief tech. Did on streets in California and Las Vegas.
We lost you there for a minute.
Oh God. I don't know what's wrong with the internet.
Yes.
The chief technology officer said the car has been successfully tested on streets in California and Las Vegas, but the cross country trip will be the car's ultimate test. So it will have a driver because I guess by law you have to have a person in there that can take over should something happen.
Okay, lost you again. Let's see. If you could only see the camera picture that I see here, he just looks like he's like on Thorazine there. He's just like, oh, he's back. He's back. I'm sorry. Yes?
Did I cut out during all of that?
Yes.
I don't know what's wrong.
If there remains any doubt that an autonomous car is on their way, automotive equipment maker Delphi intends to crush it by letting one of its self-driving research vehicles drive across the country from San Francisco to New York City. Blah, blah, blah. Apparently, they are too... Oh, this seems like a huge missed opportunity to not have some kind of, you know, have it underwritten by Glimpse or somebody so you can follow the route and that it's taking and stuff like that. That's crazy. That's just crazy that it's doing. So, I don't know. I'm not looking at your camera, so I don't know if... No, you're not frozen. Well, I don't know if you heard This Week in Google this past week.
I think I did.
They were talking about the Google driverless cars and some of the things that Larry Page had brought up and the things that they've learned from all of their mini self-driving cars, blah, 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 which is the fact that if you put a human behind the steering wheel, it actually makes them hideously more unsafe. So the new Google self-driving cars don't even have steering wheels in them.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
Because what happens is that if there is some perceived notion that you could like take over for it or whatever, this is human beings are just really bad at that. So it's just like they do not act as a reliable backup system. In fact, they end up getting in the car into worse trouble by overreacting or doing stuff or not trusting that the car is going to stop. So they actually just took out the steering wheel because it's just kind of like there you go. The car can figure it out without your help. Thank you.
Well, you do get into weird you could possibly get into weird situations where the car has to decide whether to like go off a cliff or hit a bus and kill. So, you know, you have all these weird scenarios where are we going to have cars like a computer and a car deciding whether to kill us?
That's a specious argument, though, because it's not like it'll be aware that there's an object on one side and a cliff on the other side is going to make the decision to run into the object. It's not going to distinguish that object as being a school bus that has kids on it. It's just going to be it's a specious argument because honestly, the car would just stop. It wouldn't like have to make that. There's another option. Stop. Someone in the chat room is asking if self-driving cars are actually on the roads now. Yes, self-driving cars are on the road in California and several other states. They are only for testing purposes now. So they're not being commercially sold, but they are there for research and testing purposes. They do have self-driving cars in many states. I think, honestly, we have to get to this point, right? We are spending so much time now commuting in traffic and just so much time, just wasting time in traffic that self-driving cars are really just the way to go because you're reclaiming that time and you're actually going to make the trips faster because human beings are just the worst at like, you know, stopping and they see the brake lights coming on ahead of them. So then they stop and that actually causes a ripple back down the back behind it and causes like traffic jams that you just like, what the hell was that? Why were we stopped? There's nothing up here. It's like, what? And it's
rubbernecking stop.
It's not even rubbernecking. It's just can just be someone, you know, pressing the brake at an inopportune time or like some kind of weird lighting condition is like that cars, you know, self-driving cars wouldn't have it. So it's like, I think once people see the benefit of that, they will, you know, we're definitely heading that way. I think most, prognosticators are assuming that it'll probably, no sooner than a decade, but that's like really early. Like we're probably looking at more like 2 decades out because of the way the speed that things happen.
Well, Tesla is already talking about putting out within the next year.
I know, but we have to wait for the Luddites of the world to die off before. It's like everything else. Like we have to wait for the old people to die off before we can have the new stuff.
All right. Well, in other news, for hamburger aficionados who want the smell, even when they can't get a bite, Burger King.
Hold on. Gravitas is asking, how would a driverless car drive in the fog? I'd be uneasy about that. It uses radar, LiDAR, and visual systems and whatnot. And it doesn't drive at 80 miles an hour. It's like in driving conditions like that, it would drive a lot slower. So
it's not like it has a little webcam up at the front. Right. And it's,
I can't see in the rain.
Could you wipe the lens on this thing? I can't see what's going on. So in Tokyo, I didn't say this. If you're in Tokyo and you want the smell of a burger, even when you can't get a bite,
yes,
Burger King is putting the scent into a limited edition fragrance. So Burger King said Friday that the Whopper grilled beef burger scented cologne will be sold only on April 1st and only in Japan.
Ah, you have fallen for an April Fool's joke, haven't you?
No, sounds too good to be true. If it's not an April Fool's Day joke, though the company chose the date deliberately. The limited flame-grilled fragrance can be purchased at 5,000 yen, which is about $40, including the burger.
Oh, so you get the burger also.
You get the burger also. There will only be 1,000 of them. And Burger King said it hopes the scent would also seduce new grill beef burger fans.
Oh, grilled beef burger. Warning, choking hazard.
And in other news, there's an ordinance in San Luis Obispo that's going to ban offensive odors.
Would it include the grilled meat burger fragrance?
Well, I don't know, but I'm not going to read the story, but this stemmed from people complaining of the smell of medical marijuana being grown and cultivated. And so now they have a new law banning offensive odors from
So marijuana plants stink when they're growing? I mean, I know they stink when they're lit. I mean, I don't like that smell, but most people now like use vaporizer and stuff, which don't have that smell. So I don't know why. So just growing out in the field? I guess it makes sense. It's a plant, right? I guess it whatever.
Well, all it says was it originally stemmed from complaints about medical marijuana cultivation. So I don't know if the actual marijuana smells or like the manure they grow it in or who knows. I mean, I don't know.
The manure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's the news.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is all the news that you need to know, which I had no clue why you just randomly choose news stories. Oops, wrong one. Let's go here.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Is the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play me musical cues from somebody's birthday, and me, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will guess whose birthday it is without any help from the chat room, unless I'm too slow, in which case they'll type it in and I'll steal their answer from them. There you go. That's how it works around here. Adam, who is our first? What is our first musical cue for the birthdays this week?
Here it is.
Oh, this is the theme to Chips.
Yes,
California Highway Patrol, starring Eric Estrada and the other guy. is it Eric Estrada?
Yes.
Excellent.
It is Eric Estrada.
I think the other guy's name was Tony Wilcox or something like that, or Larry Wilcox. That's what it was.
It was the Mexican and the blonde guy.
Yes.
I don't know the other. Anyway, Eric Estrada is 66 years old.
Wow. Yeah. She even predicted my Taco Bell commercial.
I have a couple of, actually three theme songs for this one, but if you can get it after two or one, then
it's a challenge. Yes. This is the theme to The West Wing.
Yes, it is the theme to The West Wing.
Now, who we're in Aries territory now, so who from The West Wing would be in Aries? Let's see. I'm going to go with, give me, is it a male or female? Just give me that.
It's a male.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, give me the next theme. There's so many of them that I could go with there. I don't know what this is.
I know for a fact that you watched this show.
Oh.
Okay, here's the third one, because I don't know if you watched this, but here's the third one.
Oh, this is Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
Ah,
yes, it is.
There you go. I am going to go with Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe is the person that has in common with The West Wing and Parks and Recreation. So I'm assuming that the second one was like the theme to his sex tape. Was that the second
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was it. Yeah.
What was the second one?
I know you used to have that on, just on.
What do you mean used to?
Speed dial or whatever. I don't know. What do you call it when you have that readily available on your Plex server?
That's right.
No, so that was Brothers and Sisters.
Oh, that wasn't the theme to Brothers and Sisters.
Yes, it was. It was. Every time I play that theme, you say it's not, but it is the theme to Brothers and Sisters. It is the opening theme. Anyway, Rob Lowe is 51 and still looks quite handsome for 51.
51 years young.
Not that 51 is old or anything like that. I'm just saying. All right. So this one. Okay. This one. We'll see if you're up to date. I think you'll know. I think you'll know who this is.
This is the musical stylings of Oh, crap. I know his name, and now I'm trying to think of the name of his group. It's Adam Levine, but the group is... Why can't I think of the name of his group? I have their albums.
It's a color.
Oh, it's Maroon 5.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's Maroon 5's birthday.
It's Adam Levine's birthday.
Yes, it is.
Now, quick, name another member of Maroon 5.
The bassist.
It's like no one can name any of it. If you walked past like the bassist from Maroon 5 on the street, I don't even think you'd know who he was. It's just like, honestly.
But if he dies,
other than
RT Cruiser, yeah, exactly, or someone will call the celebrity death phone.
It's like, other than Adam Levine, it's like nobody knows who any of the rest of the people are in Maroon 5.
Adam Levine is 36 years old, so he is actually younger than me.
Wow.
By a few months. I mean, I'm also 36, but.
Wow.
Okay, this is going to be an interesting one because you're going to think it's one person, but it's not.
It'll probably end up being so not interesting. But go ahead.
You may not even get this theme song, actually. We need Big Fatty for this one.
It's a game show.
It is a game show, yes.
Is it The Joker's Wild?
No.
You'll
never get this.
Is it The Dating Game?
No, it's not. I'll tell you what it is because you will never get it. And okay. I didn't know this until today.
All right, go ahead.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the original theme to Wheel of Fortune.
Really?
Yes, that from 1975 to 1983, that was the theme. No one would ever guess that as the theme to Wheel of Fortune, but it was.
You should have offered to let me buy a vowel.
Right.
Then I would have gotten it.
I'm going to play you one more. Before you make any guesses.
All right.
So here is the next one.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very 70s.
I loved the show. I'll say that. But
is this one Press Your Luck? They keep saying
it is
that.
Not.
It is okay. They keep saying
it is
that.
Not. They all sound similar though, don't they?
They do. I don't know what the show is. What show was this?
Okay, this is Scrabble.
So you say that this is going to be interesting because you're going to think that I'm going to say one person, but you think I'm going to say Pat Sajak, but it's actually Vanna White.
It's not.
Oh. Then Pat Sajak.
It's not.
Who else is on Wheel of Fortune?
Okay, this is a person who was the original host.
Big Fatty?
Of Wheel of Fortune.
Was it Big Fatty?
No.
Oh.
And also the host of Scrabble.
Why are you buying a vowel? You shouldn't buy a vowel. The original
I also didn't know this until today.
Is it Chuck Woolery?
Yes. Apparently,
when in doubt,
I didn't do a lot of research.
When in doubt, just say Chuck Woolery.
I didn't do a lot of research, but it seems as if Chuck Woolery was the original host of Wheel of Fortune. He was the host of Wheel of Fortune from 1975 to 1983, at which point there was a transition from him to Pat Sajak.
Wow.
Also, Vanna White was not the letter turner at the time that Chuck Woolery was the host.
No. Fun fact, it was actually... It's actually Charles Nelson Reilly.
So he's 74, and here's the last birthday.
Okay, great. This is the theme to... Oh, I'm going to get this wrong. It's a theme to the Lou something show. No, Taxi.
No.
It's not Fish. I know this theme song.
That's it. It's just gonna play.
I know. I know this. I know I've seen this show before. I'm just drawing a complete blank onto what it was. Like if I saw,
all right, I'll tell you.
If I saw a piece of video footage for it, I would like. Where was it set? What state was it set in?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay, great.
It's a city, but I don't know.
Oh, it's the Lou. No, you said you shook your head no when I said Lou.
It's not no.
So it's not Mary Tyler's boss.
It is not
Mary Tyler Moore's boss. Whatever his name was, Lou.
It is not Lou Grant.
Grant.
No,
Lou Grant.
It is not.
Okay, I don't know.
That show is Barney Miller.
That's what I was trying to go for, because Fish was a spinoff from Barney Miller. So Barney Miller. So that would mean that it would be Barney Miller himself. Is that Hal Holbrook? Is that? No. Barney Miller himself, which was...
Your first name is correct.
Hal Halston. I don't know.
No, we'll do... It's well, you're half there, so we'll do both.
Okay,
it's Hal Linden.
Hal Linden, right.
And he's been in a shit ton of stuff, but that's really the only recognizable show that he was actually the main character of.
Hal Linden from Lou Grant.
Hal Linden is 84 years old.
84 years young.
And he's still acting, mostly on stage now. But yeah. Is he doing that
one-man show like or something?
I didn't see a mention of a one-man show. Oh, that you're thinking of the guy who was on Designing Women.
Yeah, that's Hal Holbrook.
Yeah, and he did, I don't know if he's still doing
it. No, he does that Mark Twain thing. He's milking that Mark Twain thing for everything.
He's on his deathbed, so I don't know if he still does that or not. But he was most recently, Hal Linden was most recently on The Mindy Project, Supernatural, and in 2014, he was on Two Broke Girls.
Well, there you go. I don't watch any of those shows.
Yeah.
Excellent. So is that your birthday?
That's all, unless we have Pride 48.
We do have Pride 48 birthdays because it is March and we have lots of birthdays in March. So we would like to say a very, very happy birthday to Amy Coles, to Kieran Umbra, to Jaded Tristan, to Secretly Timid John, and to, who's this? Daniel Brewer. Huh, that's weird. And also Waylon from the formerly of the Foul Monkeys, now the father of, I'm going to get the name wrong, Bentley, is that his name? Anyway, I would just like to, happy birthday to all of you. If you would like to have your birthday show up on the Pride 48 webpage, make sure you go and sign up for a Pride 48 account. And when you fill out your information, click on the little checkbox that says, yes, I would like my birthday to be published. So happy birthday to each and every one of them. Excellent. Let's get to the contact segment here of the old Trello that we have. And we have a couple of voicemails here. Let's play them now, shall we?
We shall.
Hey, Daniel, it's Bacon. Oh, my gosh, this is like a contact call. It might be a dead or alive call before it's over with. Oh, my gosh. And it'd be me who's dead. Okay, if I die in this call, I better get credit for the death. Okay. I'm not predicting it, so don't accuse me of like, oh, Betty White's in the hospital. Oh, Kathy Bacon just about might die. Okay, so anyway, maybe it could be. Okay, so I just sent Joe Batant a friend request on Facebook, and I'm going to request to follow him on Instagram or whatever. But, Daniel, I have never, ever requested. I swear I have not requested to friend anyone on Facebook. Every Facebook friend I have, they have requested me. And now I'm like going to be sitting at the edge of my seat waiting to find out. Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Okay. I'm like on cloud nine today because I have a new employee and so long story, so I'll talk to you later. Oh my god, what if he doesn't? What if he accepts? What if he doesn't accept? What if he doesn't even like me?
Oh my god.
He hates me. He's famous. He's like famous. He said himself, he's like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is like my Harley Davidson motorcycle BFF Dawn's like idol. Like she loves the Packers. Now we hate the Packers, but it's okay because we like the Cowboys and everybody hates the Cowboys. But
what? Excellent. No idea. I guess she's
happy because she has a new employee who likes motorcycles.
I don't know. And it was a long story. Like that phone call wasn't. I don't know.
And Kathy Bacon is no longer with us in the chat room, so no, we can't even ask her.
She just wanted to hear her unboxing video, and then she left.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I don't have to. She's like, whew, don't have to wait till the end.
Thank God.
Already heard it.
Thank God they played that early. All right. I have no idea. I know for a fact that Joe Batanz did, accepted her friend request, so I don't know. He might have even done it while she was leaving that phone call, because it was that fast. Anyway, I don't know. Whatever. Where is Joe Batanz? Joe Batanz is suspiciously absent tonight.
I don't know. He's been absent all weekend. I think he's taking, he must be taking a weekend sabbatical from Pride 48 Earth.
There you go. Excellent. Let's get to our next voicemail. Well, actually, our last voicemail, but still the next one nonetheless. Here we go.
I'm sorry. Did you really just say that a Matt LeBlanc comedy might be too highbrow? I had to actually stop walking the dog, pull out my iPhone, and rewind 45 seconds to test if I really heard that correct. And I did. I don't know what else to say.
Well, he's an actor on that show.
I never in my life could have imagined that sentence.
Yeah, but you do know that he doesn't write the shows, right?
Comedy, yeah. He's highbrow.
He's not the writer.
Okay,
he's
well.
Just an actor.
Insulting Daniel this time, seeing as apparently I always insult Adam. This is Scotty. Bye.
Matt LeBlanc didn't write the show. The show episodes is very well written. It is a very meta written show, and when I say the highbrow, I just meant that it makes inside jokes about itself. That if you're not paying attention, you don't realize that it's making jokes about himself because it does it so well.
You said that was Showtime, right?
Yes, that is on Showtime.
Yeah, we don't have Showtime.
There you go. You should get Showtime.
Well, thank you for your call, Scotty. He had birds in the background as well.
Yes.
As remember the other day when I think it was RT Cruiser that had birds in the background?
Yes.
Maybe they're both like calling us from Mardi Gras.
Or maybe just that's an Australian
they're
thing.
They're both outside.
Like, all Australians have birds in the back.
Birds in the background.
Birds in the background. That's kind of like what am I trying to say? It's the Australian national anthem, birds in the background there. All right, well, that is our contact this evening from those two fine folks. So thank you very much for sending. Remember, you can always send us email, too. You don't have to, like, call and whatever. But that's right. We do appreciate each and every one.
3, 2, 1. Contact.
So.
So if any of you were interested, I did some further research on Hal Holbrook.
Yes.
I don't know if he's still doing his one-man Mark Twain show. It doesn't seem to say here on Wikipedia, but I can tell you that he is still acting. He's 90 years old.
Yes.
And his most recent work, he was in Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
Oh, there you go.
As a voice.
Yeah. He was a voice actor, just like Vera Charles.
And in a movie that's coming out, hasn't come out yet, called Go With Me.
Right. I do know this because I subscribe to the Playbill emails and stuff. So I like to get to the plays in New York City before the Tony season to try to, get a better price on seeing a potentially Tony winning play. And I did see that Hal Holbrook is going to be in a one man show on Broadway this year. It's the Life and Times of Big Fatty. It's called Horrible Horror Stories. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Or send us a telegram, I guess. I don't know.
Right. We'll accept anything.
Yeah, we do. We accept anything. MP3s, M4, MP4s, whatever.
Yeah. I have a tin can and a string here.
Yes.
If...
That's right. We accept naked photos. We accept
bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap. Lip balm, I think. Any kind of missive that you would like to send out into the Dubious Intent universe, that is fine.
Yeah, if you want lip balm, send a self-addressed stamped box.
Right. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope and a cashier's check for $25 to Adam Burns. All right. Good night, chat.
Good night, David.